after a very contentious midterm election, I don't know how much appetite we have for the feast of Christ the King. See, sometimes we try to look at Christ from a completely unpolitical angle, but we have to realize that Jesus was brought before the political establishment of the time, Pilate, by the religious establishment of the time, the chief priests and the Pharisees, to be judged, condemned, and finally crucified. The politics and religion came together, became friends that day to crucify whom the one whom we call Christ the King. On the other hand, I was thinking that maybe in this contentious time, the feast is a breath of fresh air because we know a Christ who rose above all the contentions. The feast of Christ the King tells us that the cross was hardly the end of the story. The feast of Christ the King celebrates the reality that the cross became Jesus' throne. That strength lies in humility. That there is power in love. Really, it's a breath of fresh air. If all leaders were that way, you and I would be a happy people. So I think this feast has implications for us as people who acknowledge Christ as our King. So here are my 3 points for you today, and I would like to bring our catechumen and candidate in to understand what these practical implications are for us and how we're inviting you to be part of all that. Okay, so let's begin my first point with Jesus saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, when Pilate questioned Jesus, "Are you the King of Jesus?" Jesus did not deny it. He did not. Rather, he said, and his response is very, very, very significant. He said, "My kingdom does not belong to this world." Now, please understand the context in which Jesus makes that statement. Israel was under Roman occupation. And militaristic nationalism was rife in those days. Remember Barabbas? He was in prison because he was starting a revolt against the Romans. So nationalism was very high those days. In fact, by bringing Jesus to Pilate and accusing him to be a king, they were trying to accuse Jesus of sedition. In other words, when Jesus says he's king, he's challenging the Roman emperor. Now, Jesus rejected any nationalistic ambitions. "My kingdom is not of this earth." Jesus' kingdom was based on a totally different set of values, mainly love, humility, service, and self-sacrifice. And folks, I think in our particular context, this is very important to understand. What does this mean for us? See, as people who live in this world and yet hoping to belong to Christ's kingdom in the next, we have to be careful not to equate faith with nationalism. They're both important, but we can't equate the two. These days, particularly, Christianity is being associated too closely with nationalistic and militaristic ambitions. Somehow, in people's minds, it's all the same thing. The cross and the flag are coalesced too easily these days. The feast of Christ the King is an invitation to stay focused on the vision that Christ had, the vision of universalism, the vision of love and humility and service and self-sacrifice. That is where Christ is leading us. Secondly, at Mass, each Sunday, we come together as a community and we pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. I think every time we say that prayer, we are acknowledging Christ as King. Thy kingdom come. Now, what do we mean by those words? Especially if Christ is our King, how can we be sure that we mean the same thing that Christ meant? How do we know what Jesus meant? So during his lifetime, and especially teaching his apostles, Jesus gave us the glimpse of the kingdom of God, the kingdom that he proposed. So for example, we know that his kingdom is not earthly, today's gospel reading. That it does not plan on enlisting us in armed rebellion. So Jesus says, if my kingdom was of this earth, I would have got people to fight for it. So that's not part of the kingdom. Or that it includes violence or war. The kingdom that Jesus proposes is one where to be first, you must be the last. A kingdom where the master is the servant of all. A kingdom where saving one's life means losing it, and losing one's life for the sake of the kingdom means saving it. A kingdom where there is a revolution created by people loving their enemies, doing good to those who hate them, blessing those who curse them, and praying for those who mistreat them. A kingdom where everybody has their daily bread. A kingdom where the king eats and drinks with sinners, the poor, and those on the peripheries. A kingdom where the king gives up his life for the salvation of the world. A kingdom where people do not judge each other, but leave judgment to God. A kingdom where people do not serve God and mammon. Is this the kingdom we are saying that comes in our midst when we pray, Thy kingdom come? Is this what we mean? I hope it is. Because then we are truly honoring Christ as King. Thirdly, folks, there are implications and consequences when we do not acknowledge Christ in the way Christ wants us to acknowledge him as King. See, at one time in the church, historically, the church was equated with the kingdom of God. In other words, the church is the kingdom of God. Later, as life went on, the church became a lot more humble, because it realized that the church is both divine and human, holy and sinful, heavenly, yet we are on this earth. The church realized its faults and came to the realization that the church is not the kingdom, but a sign of the kingdom. In other words, we symbolize what we could be. We are not there yet, we are on the way. Now these days, more and more, we are made aware of the church's sinfulness. We are being made more and aware of the consequences of the church sometimes failing to live up to her calling to be a sign of God's kingdom. So the child abuse crisis at the hands of priests and bishops' lack of transparency has left many believers brokenhearted, including me. However, the priests and bishops are not the only people who make up the church. It's you and I too. So we can point fingers at them, but I think we should also take a look at ourselves. How sure are we that the kingdom we pray for at every Mass is God's kingdom? not our own imagination of it. Can we be sure that that our life bears witness to the values of the universal King? Are we a humble people who aim to serve and love unconditionally? That we forgive generously? And we do good till it hurts, till it leads us to the cross? Are we that people? Are we a people who can look beyond self-serving nationalism and work for the well-being of all humanity, because Christ is King of all universe, not just our nation? Do we have the same compassionate and merciful heart of Jesus, the King of Kings? So these are important practical implications for us on this great feast day. And Umit and Hilary, as you come into the church really upholds and lifts up this King who was loving, humble, self-sacrificing, life-giving to his people. Someday you will be invited to this table. And on this table, in just humble bread and simple wine, lies the King of Kings. As we worship him, may we be true to the kingdom that Christ proposed to us. Yes, Lord, may your kingdom come. People of God said,